Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And two owls. Wow! Wow! I have, for the second show, second time, Mary Ann Greco, my bride of 50 years, this December 18th, back on the show. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Thank you. It's great being here.
Well, it is great to have you on the show. You are really an amazing person. You know, and I was thinking before that we aired these shows, recorded the shows, of how much I respect you, and I wanted to say that on the air.
Wow.
And I want to say that privately, obviously, all the time, but I also wanted to say it publicly, is I respect you because of how much you love Jesus, who you are as a person. I respect your faith.
Thank you.
And you inspire me.
Well, you inspire me.
And we are to inspire one another. Thank you. We are to inspire one another. And one of the areas that we really need to work on, as I say, as a team, but as just all of us individually, as a group, whatever, is the area of forgiveness. And we're going to cover this on this show. Miracles Through Forgiveness is our title. It is a book I wrote, and you can go again to our website, spiritfulhearts.org, and you can, in the website, go to our store, and you can order this book, Miracles Through Forgiveness, or you can order it on Amazon. Just go under Deacon Steve Greco. I've got 7 books. But the reason why I wrote this book, I tell the story. I was in Northern California in Livermore and giving a talk and healing service. And God just put in my heart that the importance of praying for forgiveness of ourselves, other people, of God, 3 things that I usually focus on. But forgiveness is very, very linked to healing. And, you know, if you don't believe me, just take a look at the Gospel of Mark. And in the Gospel of Mark, you can see him talking about this in the 11th chapter, in which he says in verse 24, 11:24, "Therefore I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you'll receive it and it'll be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your Heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." 2 things linked together. One thing was the fact of praying for miracles, praying for forgiveness, praying for things to happen in terms of petitions. But then linked together is that we have to forgive other people because our prayers will be hindered. Our prayers will be blocked. I often, for the last 40 plus years, have prayed over people for various gifts, anointings, healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. And there are times when praying over them, I feel this blockage. And the blockage usually is because they haven't forgiven someone. Maybe their parents, maybe their spouse, maybe a boss that fired them, whatever it might be. But there was this massive, massive blockage. Often it's friends that may have deserted them. And maybe you're in that boat too. So Mary Ann, forgiveness is really at the very root of holiness, healing, being one with the Lord. Because obviously in the Lord's Prayer, we have to forgive. And as we forgive, so will we be forgiven. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have a little analogy I like to use on forgiveness. It's like we're walking on the beach and we step on a piece of glass and we get cut. And we think, oh, that hurts. And we kind of limp back to the towel and we try not to think about it. And then later on, you're still kind of limping around. And then the next day, let's say you go out to garden and you realize that the gash you had in your foot, it hurts. But, you know, it'll heal. I'll just let it go. I won't deal with it. And so you go on ignoring it. And then, you know, all of a sudden your foot begins to swell because you've ignored the wound. And, but, you know, walking gets harder, but you just kind of keep going. And as you kind of ignore it, the infection in your foot grows. And then it gets bigger and worse, and it's harder. And pretty soon the infection, if you don't deal with it, will take over your entire body. Well, that's the way unforgiveness is for us. It's like if we don't take care of the wound or the pain or the hurt that we had immediately, it just spreads into our whole body. It affects how we look at things. It affects how we pray. It affects how we look at people. It just takes over our entire being. And that's when you say it's blocked. Why it's blocked? Because we have not dealt with the wound or the hurt that we have, and we need to forgive.
It's so important to understand that forgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to harm someone else. It poisons you. It blocks the blessings. It blocks the miracles. It blocks the Holy Spirit from working in your life. And even a little bit of poison can impact a body of water. A little bit of poison can impact a meal in which you literally get sick. And many of us have experienced that through, quote, food poisoning or whatever it might be. But bottom line is this, is that lack of forgiveness, unforgiveness, causes us to move away from God.
I have some thoughts of ways to detect your lack of forgiveness. And I say the first one is that unforgiveness always keeps score. We tend to drag things up in arguments that happened years ago. If you have that happening in your life, and it kind of eats away at you. Unforgiveness always boasts of its own record. Like, I've done this, but this person hasn't done that. And there's a lot of judgment that goes into it. Unforgiveness always complains. You never give me this, or you never do that, or that person never does this, or that person is doing it wrong. It's just affecting a relationship. Unforgiveness always alienates and divides and separates. You know, if you're not getting along with a person that hurt you, then you haven't forgiven them. If you feel divided or separated because of something. And unforgiveness accuses, exposes, and continually brings up the offense that the person has done. And unforgiveness is always angry and jealous when someone gets blessed. If you're mad that that person got blessed or got something God loves them, then, you know, there's forgiveness that needs to take place.
Now, one of the things that I want to cover is the reasons we don't want to forgive.
Yeah.
First of all, is we feel justified in not forgiving because look at what they did to me. You know, I was in prison ministry, detention ministry, and this woman, when I was talking and preaching on forgiveness, she raised her hand and she said, "My husband put me out for prostitution. How can I possibly forgive him?" Well, you know, on the surface, you could say, "Well, I see your point." But the lack of forgiveness means that you have poison in your own system and you're blocking the graces from God. So forgiveness, again, is something that is a blessing to you, and lack of forgiveness is something that is a blockage and that is a barrier to God's grace. So first, we feel like we don't have to forgive. Second is we just don't want to forgive. You know, we don't want to forgive because we're angry. You know, we're angry at that person. Another thing on forgiveness, which is so important, is that we feel that we're so justified in things that we've done that they are the one that should come to us.
Right. You know? And we think if we forgive them that we're going to say it's okay. It's not saying that what they did was okay because you forgive them. And I think that's important for people to know.
And there's so many times, again, you know, people may think that we need to reconcile with those, that if we forgive them, we don't necessarily have to reconcile with
them.
Yeah,
what is the difference between forgiveness and reconcile? Forgiveness takes one person. Reconciliation really takes two. It takes a dialogue, a back and forth. But we can forgive someone even if they don't want to be forgiven. And that's an important concept to realize, that we need to move forward and closer to the Lord. We need to forgive so we may move forward.
It's so important that we take responsibility for our behavior, and often we don't want to do it. You know, Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, and said, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times." What that means is that infinitely number of times, which is so, so important. We let addiction into our lives. We let the enemy into our lives when we go out of our way not to forgive.
We kind of feed the unforgiveness, I think, a lot of times. If someone is angry, then we allow it to go on our mind more often. We need to stop it and not feed it and keep talking about it or keep thinking about that person and how awful they are.
It's so important that we understand that one of the areas, one of the key barriers for us is to really come to the grips of, why don't I want to forgive? What is it that's stopping me? You know, and you, if you feel so hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew, for example, that I had to forgive my father for abusing me and really hurting me emotionally and physically. I knew I had to forgive him because he's my father. And I knew I had to forgive him in order to do the things God wanted me to do in ministry, to become holier. I had to forgive him. And that process of forgiving was such that led him to say, you know, how much he loved me in a way that I had never heard before.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we think that forgiving is forgetting the incident or what happened. It doesn't really mean that either. It means that we forgive, and we may always remember whatever the hurt was in our life, but we approach it at a different level. We're no longer letting it eat away at us, filling our minds with negative thoughts.
One of the key areas that we want to cover is forgiveness of self. Now, I'll be candid with you that, you know, I have found, and I've given many seminars and talks on forgiveness, and I essentially believe that about half the world has problems and challenges forgiving themselves, and about half the world doesn't. And the people who don't, God bless you, and I'm so thankful for you, can often not relate to those people that have problems forgiving themselves. I happen to be in the camp of having problems forgiving myself. I don't know if you would define yourself in that camp or not. I've often thought you weren't, but...
Well, I think that's interesting. I believe probably everybody doesn't forgive themselves of something one time or another, to be honest. And
right.
It's like... I guess it comes down to the question on if you hold on to that unforgiveness of yourself for a long time.
So lots of this may begin at a very young age. And I'll tell my story. My story was such that I was traumatized emotionally to the point where I wasn't speaking. Or I didn't... My grammar wasn't correct and my diction wasn't correct and you couldn't understand me. They literally, my parents thought I had some sort of deformity and so they had me checked out by a speech therapist and psychologists and they said, no, he's actually highly intelligent. He's just choosing not to say things. And the reason for that is that I often said things that people couldn't understand, and I was ridiculed. I was laughed at by adults, and it led to being traumatized. And then I was the youngest and being picked on. And so net, when people are struggling with forgiving themselves, it's because they don't think that they're good enough. And there's a thing called empty bucket syndrome in the sense that And I certainly still feel part of this. And a psychologist once explained this to me. He said, picture a bucket without a bottom to it. And all these compliments and people saying these wonderful things about you are going into the bucket, but you're not absorbing them. They're just falling right through because you don't think you're good enough. You know, the devil or... You know, something's whispering in your ear, well, if they really knew you, you know, they really knew you, then, you know, they wouldn't say that, or you just can't receive it because you don't feel good about yourself.
Right. I think you can't entertain it. You can't keep going on it. And I would say the thing that pulls me out of that when I get into maybe beating myself up, I'm not good enough or whatever, is to think about how much God loves me. And if I were the last person or the only person on earth, Christ would have died for me and my sins. And that's really the good love. So I have to put it back into perspective to realize how much God loves me. So who am I not to love myself enough to forgive myself? I can go through the process. He's already forgiven me, but I don't forgive myself.
So the bottom line is, and I talk about this in this book, Miracles Through Forgiveness, and one of the things I talk about in chapter 2 is that we know in our heads that we should forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
But moving to our hearts is very, very difficult. And why is it so difficult? Because we were programmed that we're not good enough. We're not good enough. And so how do we get past that? Well, for me, I got past that by surrendering my life to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And looking at Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus never condemns us. And that he loves us in chapter 8 in a way that is beyond our comprehension. That, you know, he loves us in a way that we can't even possibly comprehend and absorb, but we have to accept and let it take over our lives.
I think he loves us. He created us, and he created us knowing all of our weaknesses and all of our warts, in a sense, and he still loves us. So we have to learn to love ourselves with the same passion that God loves us.
And that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Persecution, nakedness, nor the sword. This is Romans 8:35, 38, 39. Principalities, present things, future things, power, nor height, nor depth, any other creature were able to separate us from the love of God. That was so important to me. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, when I made that from the heart, said, Lord, take over my life, my eyes were opened up to see how much he loved me, how much he loved me. You know, I had that experience at Southern California Renewal, SCRC, a number of years back, when I felt really badly about myself and was very unforgiving about myself, very depressed. And God came to me, and the song was being played, You Are Near, came to me and showed me glimpses of my life, feeding the poor, evangelizing, you know, loving people, praying for people and that they were healed. And the Lord said, this is how I see you. See, God doesn't see us with our sinfulness. Because when we confess it, he died for our sinfulness and wiped it clean.
Yeah, and I think, how do you stop yourself from repeating that pattern of saying, I'm not worthy? And you surrender yourself to the Lord, and then it's almost like Satan whispers these little negatives into you. And you have to stop your patterns of listening to it. So one of the things I heard that you do is you read scripture, is that right? To help you get out of that.
Yeah, like for example, Ephesians 1 that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed us in heaven with every spiritual blessings in heaven and chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. Chose us to be holy without blemish. Chose us to be his adopted sons. So yeah, I will read that. And go, now, wait a minute. Let me meditate on that. Let me focus on that, that I was chosen to be holy. I'm his adopted son. I am filled with every spiritual blessing. I've been given all these gifts. I'm loved unconditionally. And so it's this, you know, we talk about I am statements, to make a list of I am this, that, whatever, and to make a list of I am statements.
So you can really even make a list?
Yes.
Yeah, for me too, I think it's kind of related to scripture, but I can put on music that's Christian music that praises the Lord or talks about how much God loves me. And it breaks the cycle of the negative feeding, because we feed ourselves, we allow ourselves to keep entertaining the thoughts that we're not worthy or we're not of value. I had a friend one time, and she made a mistake in a ministry, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry." And she let go of it. And I thought, what an incredible gift. I would like go home and think how awful I was that I did this incorrectly or whether, and keep telling myself that. So I had to learn how to stop telling myself how bad I was and say, I did my best and God loves me and go forward. Otherwise, like you say, you get blocked. You can't go forward because you're too busy thinking about what you did wrong.
Now, in this book, again, Miracles for Forgiveness, you can get on Amazon or our website, Spiritful Hearts website. We also have a chapter of healing of memories. And the reason that's important is that often we don't heal ourselves because of memories that have hurt us emotionally. So how do we do that? Well, once we've identified the memory, we ask for God to bring it back, but then to change the memory. So, for example, I remember one time when I was being ridiculed for my speech. I was like 5 years of age. And instead of just seeing the laughter of my relatives laughing at the way I talked, I saw Jesus standing in the room looking at me with loving eyes, you know, having his arms wide open and embracing me in a sense and loving me and feeling that love. So that what it came down to was the fact that that memory now had Jesus in it. And that became a healing of my not loving myself.
You know, one of the things I hear you say here is it's also important to acknowledge the hurt. So many people will stuff the hurt and not want to deal with it and just try to forget it. But it never really goes away. It's always there feeding your negative thoughts. So I think one of the things I hear you say is it's important for us to acknowledge that we have been hurt. And once we acknowledge it, then we can take it to the Lord and have healing of memories and forgive ourselves. But we have to first look at the wound. Like I said in my story, if I don't clean out the wound, if I don't deal with it, it'll get worse. So we have to take a hard look at why we're hurting.
You know, and it's also important for me to turn to the Blessed Mother, because the Blessed Mother is the Mother of Mercy. The Blessed Mother has a tender love for us. So pray the Rosary. Also pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Because the Divine Mercy Chaplet and reading, for example, the diary of St. Faustina, you can read that and learn about God's incredible mercy for us and how passionate he is. The Sacred Heart of Jesus in terms of devotion, these are all things that can help us better understand that God loves us unconditionally and to forgive ourselves.
That's great. And I think, you know, there again, refocus. Don't play the old thing in your mind, but take it to the Lord. And there's a lot of different ways, like you mentioned, that you can take it to the Lord and ask for the healing of that wound.
Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new. Behold, you are a new creation in me." And that's what's so important to understand, that we are new creations in him. What did I say? What's the three most important things?
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't, you know, so many times people give up on themselves. The final thought I'm going to say in this little story is at Southern California Renewal Communities, SCRC convention, a woman came to me and said, "I need to talk to you about something." And she tracked me down and then said, "My life is over because I committed adultery. I cheated on my husband and my life is over. God could never forgive me." She was not forgiving herself, feeling that she did this unpardonable thing. And I said, "Did you confess it?" "Of course." "Well, who's telling you that you're not forgiven?" "Well, the devil." And she immediately, the veil was lifted from her. She starts crying. She immediately saw that when you say ask the Lord for forgiveness, when you go to reconciliation, God forgives you. And if the devil says you're unforgivable, that's a lie from him to immobilize you and to create havoc in your life. Don't receive it. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to be right back to talk more about miracles through forgiveness and forgiving other people. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about the book I wrote, Miracles Through Forgiveness, that you can get on Amazon or to order at our website, spiritfilledhearts.org, and the various aspects of forgiveness, the barriers to forgiveness, the issues with forgiving ourselves, the importance of understanding how to pray for healing of memories. Now, the biggest area when you think about forgiveness is forgiving of other people, because we're often hurt to the bone.
Right.
We're betrayed. You know, we have spouses, we have children, we have bosses, we have friends, many times friends who you think were your friends and they totally abandon you.
It can turn your life upside down.
It can turn your life upside down. Tell us about forgiving other people. Why is it so important?
Well, there again, it's the same thing. If we were blocked, as you said, I feel like if we don't forgive someone, we're constantly replaying the situation and we're constantly in our mind in a negative type of view. And God can't speak to us when we're like that. We can't hear. We can't grow closer to the Lord. And we can't be an ambassador for the Lord if we're harboring hatred or unforgiveness in our heart. So it's so important, but it is a very difficult thing to do. And I like to think of it as something that we cannot really do by ourselves, but we have the Lord. And if we turn to him and ask him, I've done this myself, Lord, I don't know how I could ever forgive this person for this thing. Help me to forgive this person. And by process, the Lord will do it for you because he wants you to forgive too.
You know, we feel again so justified in not forgiving. How many times, and you may have done it yourself, you probably have done it yourself, but how many times have you heard other people tell you the story of why they haven't forgiven someone else?
Oh, yeah, they do that a lot. And that's just like keeping it alive. It's just keeping the wound. It's like opening the wound and periodically and just to keep it festering in you.
And people will say things like, yeah, this happened 30 years ago. And then I've even heard people say, I can't even remember why I don't forgive that person, but it was something really bad that happened a long time ago. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But they have to constantly remind themselves as the reason why. Who is doing that? The enemy is doing that. The enemy wants to paralyze you. The enemy wants to mobilize you.
Well, I was going to say, I think our own pride does a lot, too. It's like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve what this person did. I'm a nice person. And we get very prideful. And it's like, when I get like that, it's like, okay, I can think of, did Jesus deserve everything he got? No. And so I have to back off of the pride bit and say, okay, things happen, and not replay the thing in my head.
Now, I gave the example earlier of my father and challenges with him, and it was so bad that, you know, I would shake sometimes when he walked in the house at night because I knew I was going to get physically abused or mentally abused. But I knew that in order to be made whole, I had to forgive him. In order to be holy, we have to forgive, because as we forgive others, so will we be forgiven. As we judge others, so will we be judged. Now, a great example is St. Pope John Paul II. Now, this man who shot him, that would have been kind of a rough one to forgive, right? I mean, he almost died. St. Pope John Paul II almost died. But what's he do? He asked, first of all, for Catholics throughout the world to pray for the man who shot him. He tells the world that he has sincerely forgiven him. But then he follows up with a visit to see when he felt better, his would-be assassin in prison. He spoke to him privately, loving him with the forgiveness of Christ, and stayed in touch with him. And he even requested in the year 2000 that the man be released from prison, which was granted. The interesting thing is that that man converted to Christianity, and that man became a Catholic. You see, when we forgive other people, it transforms them.
Yes, and I think it's difficult, very difficult, because we think that if we forgive them, then they'll keep on hurting us, or that it discounts what they did hurt us. It does not. You know, and it's also not our judgment. It's the Lord who is going to be judging them. He wants us strictly to let go. And it's so tough to really think that person, I can forgive that person, when really they may have really hurt you. I mean, you may have some really deep wounds. But remember, it's those, what you're holding on to is hurting you, not the person. And so for your health and for your walk with the Lord, you need to get in a position where you can forgive. And as I say, the only way I can forgive is to really turn it to the Lord. I had a story where I had someone who had deeply hurt me, and I could not forgive them. And I said, you know, I don't think I could ever forgive this person. And in fact, God gave me little experiences where I would see other people, and I thought, oh, this person is a daughter of someone else. I should forgive them. But basically, I kept praying, God, just help me forgive this person. I don't know how. And one day, I actually had a dream. And in the dream, I saw this person who I thought I'd never see again. And in the dream, I saw the person, and I acted out this forgiveness scene. In other words, a person came to me and said, you know, I've really done wrong. God can't ever forgive me, and I'm sorry. And I said to the person, no, God loves you. And I gave the person a hug. And I woke up feeling blessed. I've forgiven this person. And I felt really good. And that can happen to us too. That is one way of happening. In my case, God actually put the person back into my life for a minute, and I actually lived the dream where I walked into a room and the person said the exact thing I had dreamed. And then I just walked out after it happened and went, wow, God, you are so good. So there's, if we turn it over to the Lord, there's many ways He can facilitate the forgiveness in your heart. Whether the person is alive or not there, it doesn't matter. You could write letters of forgiveness, but ask God to help you with it.
And how, when you went through that experience, how did that change you spiritually? How did that get you closer to Christ?
Well, I think it, instead of spending my time where this negative, you know, I used to pass that there was a street that had the name of the person on it, and every time it would bring up the memory, and it would make me angry, and I would replay the story. So the minute I was forgiven this person, that anger went away, and then I had the peace, and I was able to focus on the Lord and not on things that would irritate me or bring it up. And I think, you know, it's not always a one-day process. It's sometimes you have different layers of forgiveness where you think you've forgiven the person, and then something will trigger a memory. And if it does, then you have to take that memory to the Lord and ask for the healing of that with that person. You haven't totally forgiven the person.
It's like layers of an onion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't get down on yourself if you're still struggling with forgiving someone. Just bringing it back to the Lord, bring it back to the Lord. And you can basically just pray, picture them. One of the most important things you can do, this is absolutely critical, is ask the Lord to see that person through the Lord's eyes, through God's eyes. And you will see a completely different person. That's what I did with my father.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, let me see them through your eyes. And I saw a broken person, a person who needed love, a person that, you know, was worthy of love. And it changed my entire attitude towards them. You know, one of my experiences, and I write this in the book, Miracles Through Forgiveness, again, you can get on Amazon or my website, spiritfulhearts.org, is talking about the importance of when you have these very difficult experiences of forgiving them. And I had this traumatic experience. I was a senior vice president of a Fortune 25 company. I had just been honored in February of a given year as being one of the top executives in the world, 50,000 employees in the company. Well, there was a new CEO that came on who the old CEO loved me. This new CEO didn't like me and wanted his own person in there. And so February, I'm being honored. In April, I'm fired. Fired. You know, and I had been, in my eyes, the eyes of the previous administration, so successful, but I was fired. Now, a lot of ways to handle that, but I saw God's hand in it. People would write me cards and letters and emails saying that God has got you doing something else, and he did. You know, I created a new company and then ultimately became deacon, and probably wouldn't have happened had I still remained in that job. But still, I was struggling with forgiving the person. In fact, I joke about it, and I say, well, in Scripture it says, vengeance is mine, so I give him over to you, Lord. You know, that was about the best I could do. But again, it takes time. I had to pray to forgive that person and a couple other people that I felt betrayed me, to see them through God's eyes. And prayer is a huge part of forgiving other people.
Right. I think I agree with you so much on that. It's like to ask to see them through the Lord's eyes. And that takes a lot to say that prayer. I also have asked to see them as a child. Sometimes that helps, to see them, Lord, let me see them as they were as a child, because we usually don't, you know, they were a child. They were someone's child. So it's just a beginning. It's just a beginning. If you can see them in a different way the Lord sees them, then maybe you're not entertaining all the negativity of the wound that you had, but you're seeing a person that God loves, and he will start healing that as you go on. And then, you know, it gets to a point, if you start doing that and you don't entertain the negativity, but you start seeing the person as God sees them, then you might be able to say a prayer for them. You know, it could be in the beginning, like, oh, Lord, help them stop hurting other people. Oh, but when you know you're really healed with this person, it's when you're able to pray a prayer that you pray that they're blessed, that, you know, their life can be blessed and positive. And so your prayer for that person will evolve as your healing, your wound, and your forgiveness is evolving.
Scripture is really clear. Take a look at 1 John 2:10-11. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness, does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So that when we have lack of forgiveness, our eyes are blinded. Further on, in 1 John 4:7, 11, and 12, again, let us love one another, beloved, because love is of God. Whoever loves is begotten by God and knows God. If God so loved us, we must love one another. If we love one another, God remains in us. Very important. So what happens when we can't forgive others? Go to reconciliation and confess it. Confess grudges, hatred, animosity, anything that we have that is blocking us. Very, very important that we do this. Go to Mass and receive the body and blood of Christ on an ongoing basis. Remember Luke 6, stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. This is verse 37, 38. So as we focus on this particular segment of forgiving other people, ask the Lord with all of your heart, soul, might, and strength for the grace to forgive others, because God will intervene in that. That's why it's called a miracle. Miracles through forgiveness, because it's God's intervention. Well, I'm so excited to have Marianne Greco here, my bride of nearly 50 years, talking about the important area of forgiveness. And, you know, I just, before I go any further, I have to say thank you for forgiving me.
You're welcome.
No, I mean that. Thank you for forgiving me, because, you know, I definitely did things that were not good, did not help the marriage, and that you forgave me, love me, and continue to love me unconditionally. I know that when we were going through challenges, and this was when we were in our early 30s, so it was just a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Bottom line is that you needed and went to God to get his strength, but there had to also be a little disappointment that, in a sense, God allowed this to happen, I suppose. But how did you reconcile being hurt and certainly forgiving me? But how did you reconcile God? Because so many times people get angry with God when you pray and things don't go the way you want them to.
Well, I think the good news is that through the process, I learned how to forgive in a way that I never would have learned before. And you're right, I did turn to God and I prayed, and I could not believe that God would allow things and not change things right away. I mean, it just made sense. That's not how God wants things. And I had people praying for me and everything. And so when it didn't happen, when things don't happen the way you're praying and you're in a lot of pain, you might gradually get disappointed in God or angry or that he's not answering your prayer. And we forget that God knows what's best ultimately for us. And so things do take longer sometimes. But nevertheless, it happens to all of us. I think, you know, people, we pray for someone who might die, or we pray for someone to be healed and they're not healed. And so gradually, I think what happened is I didn't want to go to church as much. I didn't want to pray as much. I just, you know, it's like, well, God gave everybody free will. And so that old free will's getting in the way, and God won't change that. So, you know, and so that's where I got to.
There are times we get so disappointed and we blame God for things not working out. I know for me, some things that really came to mind was our son Paul was married to a woman and became pregnant with what was their first child, our first grandchild. And at the same time she's pregnant, a couple months into the pregnancy, she discovers she has multiple sclerosis. And I will never, ever, ever forget that, because I just felt like this marriage, this couple, there's no way that was something that was a good thing. And so I remember talking to God and saying, look it, you know, I mean, I do all these things for you, and, you know, you attack my family, or you allow this to happen, in which my daughter-in-law gets this very serious disease that will impact their marriage. And I started getting very angry. And I remember God coming to me and saying, I love your daughter-in-law more than you could ever imagine, and to trust in him. And that is a big part of what we need to do, is trust.
Right. I think, you know, we think we have the answer and that we know that this should happen this way. And the reality is we have to trust that God knows what's best for us in the long run. And I do think, you know, the long run is we're only pilgrims on this earth. And the long run is being with him in the kingdom of God. And sometimes it takes some pain, you know, and to grow closer to the Lord. I mean, I certainly have grown closer to the Lord in the times of sorrow and pain and hurt. And so that's why St. Paul talks about, you know, having his thorn in the side has kept him close to God the whole time. So that's where the trust comes, is to know that God was still with me through the difficult times. And I had to remind myself, you know, I may have been angry and I may have turned my back a little ways from him, but he was still right there waiting for me to turn back towards him.
Now, one of the biggest challenges of our lives, my life, your life, our family's life, was about 5.5 years ago when I got a phone call from my daughter. She had been in an accident. She was almost killed. Our grandson was almost killed. But through the process of what happened, she had to go to the hospital because she was broadsided in her car and have a chest x-ray, and they discover a tumor. And then in having a biopsy, they discover that she has lung cancer. Now,
stage
3A at the time. Now here's a woman who is, I think, a little bit over 40, or around 40, I think, and never smoked, doesn't even drink, never a single cigarette, and here she has lung cancer. And so if that wasn't bad enough, about a month later, I was working in Northern California, and she's now in the hospital, calls me up and says, Dad, thank you for being my father, but the cancer has entered my heart and they don't think I'm going to make it. They don't think I'm going to even make it 24 hours, you know. And so I'll never forget that because I walked out, and at this point now I'm heavily involved in missionary work. I'm a deacon. I'm doing evangelization, writing books, doing all these things. And I never remember, never forget going in the hallway of this in a meeting in Northern California. And I went in the hallway and I just said, Lord, how could you do this to me? My only daughter, how could you do this to me? And there again, God told me and showed me how much he loved her and to trust in him and to start praising him. So I flew home to Southern California. We took a red eye that night to Kennedy. And we began praising God fervently. But what were you going through when I first told you about this?
Well, you're in a daze. You just cannot believe that this is happening. You know, this is just a whole other world that's changed. Your world is upside down. But I think the thing that you said that for me has been a gradual process is trust in God. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've had to trust in God for smaller things. And then I started trusting in God for larger things. Like I trusted in God to heal our marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when you start trusting in God for little things, it starts builds up so you can trust God for bigger things. So, I mean, really where I went to was this mode, and I was teaching Bible study at the time when I got the phone call, but I remember saying this to the people, but I trust in God that no matter what happens, he is going to be there with me and it'll be okay. It may be very painful what I have to go through, you know, in the next 24 hours or whatever, but I know God is there loving me and I know that there's more to this than the pain I feel right now.
There are so many times that we feel angry at God. We don't tell other people about it because that doesn't sound right, right? And we may not even acknowledge it ourselves.
People are afraid to say.
They're afraid to admit because all the people are going to think I'm a horrible person because I haven't forgiven God. But bottom line is this, is that your actions really, something you said, they just start. Stop being involved in church. They stop praying. They stop believing. They stop trusting. You know, and all of those things are symptoms of not believing God. So going on with our story, we take a red eye that night to New York, do the horrible drive to Albany Medical Center where she was in more upstate New York. And we see her and she comes running up to us. We've been praising God. We've been thanking God. We had forgiven God. We were trusting God. She came running up to us after we arrived there and found her, and she hugged us both, and she said they misdiagnosed me, meaning the fact that she still had cancer, but they had misdiagnosed that the cancer was entering her heart and she was going to imminently die. And again, that was over 4.5 years ago, and she's still fighting the fight, but again, I believe that, you know, a miracle was happening because of forgiveness and our attitude in praising God and forgiving him.
You know, how do you deal with this? One of the things I suggest to our listeners that's really good and it helps me is to read Psalms. In Psalms, King David, he starts out really complaining to God in a lot of the Psalms and mad at God. I mean, this has been happening. It's not a lot of prophets get mad at God. And they have such a relationship with God that they can admit it. But then as you read Psalms and you go through, it's like they start praising God. First they say they're mad at him, then they start praising him, and then all of a sudden they start seeing God and how much God loves them. Well, reading Psalms can help you go through that process if you're going through that process of maybe mad at God and really frustrated. Open up the book of Psalms.
I think reading scripture, reading Psalms, extremely important. Reading, I like to say, read John 15. John 1 is also very good. Romans 8, Ephesians 1. There are certain scripture verses you can read again. 1 Corinthians 13. you know, love is patient, love is kind, you know, and so forth. You know, there's certain scriptures that are so gentle and so loving. Any final thoughts that we have?
Yeah, I have a couple other tools I like to use. Sometimes when you can't think of reasons why God would still love you and you're angry at him, you can admit it to someone, a close friend, and have them tell. They might remind you of all the times God showed you how much he was there and how much he loved you. So sometimes, you know, opening up to someone and allowing them to remind you what God has already done in your life. Or if you journal, go back and look in your journals and see how God has been there for you during the difficult times before, to remind you he will be there for you now, and that there's no reason to be angry with him. It's just something you're going through.
Mary Ann, it's been wonderful having you on the show again.
Thank you.
And for everyone else, please pray and ask God for the grace and gift and miracle of forgiveness, forgiving yourself, forgiving other people, forgiving God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and ask blessings upon our listening audience and all of their loved ones and family members, that they be given this gift of forgiveness, that they be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Powered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week.